4, Galatians chapter 4. While you're taking a moment to find that portion of God's Word, I want to thank you for your prayers for me, my quick sojourn to South Africa. It was an incredible experience, and because you prayed, God bless. I bring you greetings from former Lake viewers who serve in that part of Africa, Steve and Kayla Flippo, Bob and Pam Brownfield, and Justin Trummins, all of whom are doing well. And ask to be remembered to you, and ask that you would remember them in your prayers. While I was in South Africa, I had the privilege to spend some time with about 15 or 16 college students who are in Africa for one semester as a part of what's called Hands-On Africa. And to hear their testimonies of what an incredible experience they're having. And I've come back with a fresh determination to recruit from this congregation, university students, to give up a spring or a fall semester and go to Africa sometime before you graduate, or certainly the semester immediately following graduation, and invest about 4.5 months in that great continent where God is working in such a mighty way, and where there is such a desperate need for people to come and to teach the Word of God. If you have an interest in that, please talk to me or Brother Curtis Black or Brother John West or Cliff or somebody on our staff, because we want to talk to you about Hands-On Africa. This is just a one-semester commitment, and the cost is very, very minimal. Now imagine with me, there is a remote tribe somewhere in the world, perhaps in Asia, perhaps in Africa, perhaps in Latin America, and this remote tribe has been in bondage to evil spirits, demons, for generations, as far back as you can go, as far back into their history. They have been involved in the worship of evil spirits, and therefore their lives are filled with fear and terror, with no hope. And you learn of this remote tribe who lives in such bondage, and in the province of God, God calls you to leave here and go there as a missionary, to go there and proclaim the gospel of the Son of God. And so you make preparation, you seek appointment with the mission board, you are trained by the mission board, and the day comes when you and your family, you move to this remote location on the planet. You go and live among these people who live in such bondage. You learn their culture, you learn to eat their food, you learn their language, in order that you might proclaim Jesus to them as the Savior of the world, the one and only one who can forgive them of their sins and take away their fears, the one who can deliver them from the snare of the adversary, who can give them joy unspeakable and full of glory. And over the course of 2 or 3 or so years, as you earn their trust, as you learn their language, as you proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to them, the Spirit of God moves in one and then another and then another and then another, comes to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are being set free by the power of the gospel. The day comes when there are enough believers now that you can gather them into a church, and so you plant a church there. You look for those who show unusual spiritual depth and unusual hunger for God, that you might appoint them as elders to serve in the leadership role of that church, and you invest your life there for another year or so. And then the day comes when the church is growing and thriving and reaching out. And you hear of another remote tribe in another village, some distance away. And you feel that sense of the tug of God in your heart to go to that place, that other village tribe, and that other location that has never heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you bid farewell to this new church that the Lord has used you to establish there, and you move to this new location to do again what you had done in that first location. And then sometime later, word comes to you that after you've moved away, some cult missionary from the United States has followed you to this village, and they are teaching their false doctrine, their doctrine that salvation is by faith in Christ, but also you've got to add something else to it, whatever that something else may be, according to that particular cult. In other words, they are undermining the pure gospel of the Son of God, that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ Jesus alone. You hear word that this has happened. How would you feel? Well, you'd probably feel sad that those that you had loved and taught and won to faith in Christ were being led astray by false teachers, those who are adding to the gospel of the grace of God. And you'd probably be angry at the devil and angry at false teachers for coming in seeking to sow seeds of error and heresy among this infant flock of God. You'd probably be heartbroken. You'd probably be perplexed about the whole matter. Well, that's exactly what happened to Paul the Apostle and to the churches in the province of Galatia that he had established. Paul had gone to Galatia, preached the gospel.